Welcome, everyone, joining us here tonight on the Kings County Radio Club's Technical Question and Answer Net. I am Roy, AC2GS, and I will be your net control operator for this informal net. I will be your host, while NKG2C will be your co-host on this exploration into amateur radio technology. The purpose of this net is to provide a platform for the discussion and to offer our answers as well as promote a conversation among all participants of this net. The club maintains an archive of these technical nets on its web pages. Also, we offer original articles and reviews on many topics covered during these technical nets. We also publish technical puzzles for our participants to ponder and as a starting off point to discuss important technical concepts. Tonight's TechNet puzzle is posted on our club website. The link can be found on the front page of our website in orange-colored type, but if you would like a simple URL to find it, you can just type puzzle.kc2rc.com. Also, we will be offering a streaming service for those who cannot receive our repeater signal. Just point your browser to stream.kc2rc.com. This net is scheduled for the second and fourth Wednesday of each month. All of this information can also be found on our club website, www.kc2rc.com. Members as well as non-members are welcome to participate, although we do appreciate it when our fellow hams join our club. An application is available on our club website. No question is too simple, no question is dumb. All wisdom begins with the asking of questions. If you have a question, it deserves to be answered. Our format tonight will be to ask for participants to check in only if they have questions or comments for this net. Please give us your name, your call sign, and whether you have a question or a comment. The net will then address each question in order. I will try my best to provide an answer, and MLNKG2C will join in. If any other listener has any further facts or opinions, they will be free to break in with the word comment, and when recognized, offer their knowledge or experience to us all. If anyone has any suggestions for future topics of interest, please let us know here or use our email address, tech@kc2rc.com. And now I would like to introduce my co-host for this net, Milen KG2C. Good evening, Milen.
Good evening, Roy. This is Milen. We'll go to Charlie, and I just returned earlier today from my vacation, and I'm very glad to be here and joining you for the net. One thing I should note is the link for the puzzle, puzzle.kc2rc.com, seems to be sending me to the TechNet audio archive instead of the puzzle. But I did check in the link on the main site that you mentioned in orange color does work correctly. So if anyone is confused about the puzzle, they can reach it from the main page just by scrolling down until they find the information on the puzzle. Back to you, Roy, from Kill Golf to Charlie.
Thank you very much, Milen, and welcome back to the New York area. And unfortunately, I'm not in charge of the aliasing for the website. Mitch is, and I'll contact him and find out what the problem might be. So you could always use that front page URL click, and it'll get you there definitely. It's a nice little question, and it's not too difficult. So I would like to open the technical net for tonight. Please, anyone interested, give me your name and your call sign if you have any questions or comments for the technical net tonight. AC2GS, who has any questions or comments for the technical net tonight, please give us your name and your call sign.
AC2GS, this is KD2LQE, Simon. I don't have a question, but I'm just checking in to support the net.
Thank you very much, Simon. Anyone out there with a question or a comment for the technical net tonight? Because it's always better when there are actual questions or comments for the technical net. Yes, Mitch. apparently using puzzle.kc2rc.com doesn't bring people to the puzzle. It sends them to the recorded archives. I would appreciate that. It gives me a little bit of ability to help you out there. This is AC2GS, with possibly the shortest Kings County Radio Club technical net in its 30-episode series. This is number 30. Ask him if there's anyone out there with a question or a comment for the technical net tonight. Please give me your name and your call sign.
Joe in Staten Island, KC2WTA.
Good evening, Joe. Good
evening, Roy. Roy, I have no real question, but as long as we're not going to have many people on the net tonight, maybe Milan can revisit software-defined radio for us and tell us about the equipment he used and about the software that controls it and how it's connected to a computer. Back to you.
Sure, Joe. Milan, care to share your experiences with the group?
All right, sure. And before I actually get into it, I should mention that Roy actually has much more experience with software-defined radio than I do. And my application of it is on the very frugal, very cheap ham end of the spectrum. So what I do is, you know, I spend $100 on a SDR player, SP1 Alpha, and also I have the even cheaper dongle, which right now I forget, but basically it's a device for watching TV that was opened up on other frequencies supported by the chip. I actually used the SDR Play RSP-1 Alpha today to try to listen to the International Space Station, because the next 3 days they'll be doing SSTV transmissions. So I was listening, I think it was 145.8 earlier today with that device. And it can be used anywhere from 1 kilohertz to 2 gigahertz with bandwidth up to 10 megahertz at a time. And you could use it obviously in any mode for listening. FM, AM, single sideband, you know, lower, upper. And you can connect other software to it. Basically, once you connect your antenna to it, you connect it with a USB cable to the computer. And there's various programs you can run. You can run the included program, which is SDR Uno, but you can run other things like SDR Console, SDR Sharp, Sigmira. I don't know, there's others. I can look up what else I have around for controlling it, basically. And from that point on, you know, you can either just listen to audio, like if you're doing CW or upper sideband FM, AM, or you can listen to digital modes also if you were of data transmission, SSTV, or even FT8, and you could use it as a PAN adapter as well. If your radio has an IF out, or if you have a RF splitter, so you could, like the those devices that are transmit-receive switches, so maybe you could use this for receive and your radio for transmit. There's many options. Do you have any more specific questions about it? We'll go to Charlie.
Milan, actually, I was going to ask if you needed intermediate frequency output. I think that's what squashed it for me the last time. This transceiver doesn't have an IF output, and I don't care to dig into it and bring the IF lead outside. So, okay, Milan, thanks very much for the information. KC2WTA on the side.
Well, you don't need an IF out. For example, look up the MFJ 1708 SDR. This is very similar to their 1708 transmit receive switch. The basic 1708, what it does is when you don't do anything with the relay, you can just be listening on, for example, on a SDR dongle or an SDR receiver. And when you transmit with your radio, you know, you just like you can amplifier with a relay, you can see that transmit receive switch. So the receiver is disconnected and the radio is connected to the antenna. So that way you can share one antenna between those two devices. And this MFJ1708 SDR switch, what it does is it's almost the same, except by default both radios are connected to the antenna. You suffer obviously 3 dB loss due to that, since the signal is cut in half to each of them, or at least 3 dB loss. I mean, I'm not sure how well they made it, because I don't have one myself. People seem to be happy with that product in general. So that way you could listen on your regular radio or on your SDR receiver, and you can keep the frequencies in sync, or, you know, whatever you want to do with them. There's ways to sync them up if you're using Omnirent, for example, for your radio control. And then when you transmit with your radio, it just cuts off the SDR receiver, because otherwise you blow the thing up with the RF output of your radio if it's connected. So you can look that up. There's ways to do it, you know, to build something like that. There are, although there aren't as well documented, so people generally just buy something like the MFJ1708 SDR or some other sequencer. Kill goes to Charlie, back to Roy.
Thank you very much, Malin. I think Joe was pretty much describing what some people are doing is they're taking the IF output stage of their radio and feeding it into a pan adapter so that they could just visualize the spectrum, sort of a halfway type of a software-defined radio. But that's not what most of us are talking about when we say software-defined radio. It ranges from RTL SDR, which is the DVB television digital European dongle that's been repurposed to be mostly a higher frequency software-defined radio with open source software, all the way from something like my Flex 6700. And depending upon which dongle or which design you have, the interfaces for the devices are different. For an RTL SDR, the interface is a simple USB port connection. With some of the earlier Flex radios, they use FireWire, and mine uses an Ethernet cable. And again, depending upon the money you spend and the technology involved, it allows you to do all kinds of interesting things. I have 8 different separate receiver slices that are going simultaneously. And if you were there at last Wednesday's meeting, I showed people on my iPhone that I could remotely operate my radio using the hospital's very nice public Wi-Fi connection. So SDR comes in many, many, many flavors, Joe. And, you know, you pick your price line anywhere from an RTL SDR for $35 and up.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to be building this Hithkit station. It's an all vacuum tube station, and all their rigs had IF outputs. In fact, they had 3 outputs from different oscillators inside. But am I correct that did Malin mean to say that I didn't need an intermediate frequency output on my rig to in order to have a pan adapter? I could have a pan adapter by virtue of the SDR play itself. Back to you.
My understanding, Malin was trying to tell you that a lot of software-defined radios have built-in preamps, bandpass filters, amplifiers, and does the entire receiving. If you can supply it with an antenna, you don't need the receiving amplifiers and such from your original receiver. You just need either a separate antenna or by means of rigging a transmit-receive switch so that you're not transmitting into your SDR, you can alternate the antenna to receive through the SDR and then transmit out through it.
All right, that's great. I was going to bring this up at some time. Tonight was the perfect night, I guess. I expect maybe in a couple of months to get going on my new high-frequency station. I have the ground rods driven, and I have all the mechanical hardware to complete the RF ground. And the first step after I have an RF ground is to move my Kenwood 430S to the new operating position and try it there. And once I have a good RF ground established, then I can start getting into the guts of the Heathkit gear that I have. I only know the operational status of a couple of the receivers. Haven't done anything with the transmitters, and certainly nothing with the RF amplifiers. I have four RF amplifiers that I'm considering, so I think when I finally go out, I better drop. When I finally get around to digging into all this stuff, I'll probably be asking Dick at the Landmark TechNet a lot of questions. Back to you, Roy.
Good, Joe. Are you done with your Oceanics, or you put them on the side for the time being?
They're on the side for the time being, but I've done an awful lot of them. I did seven of them. I had four of them myself. I did one for a friend's father, and then just in through polite conversation during, you know, Easter and whatnot, a couple more people popped up with them. And so I have to order another batch of capacitors to do three more. But most of them came out beautiful. I have some problems with some. There's some heterodyning between stations on the AM dial, on the AM band, broadcast band. But otherwise, they sound fantastic. And I converted them all to battery. I just cut away the AC cord and remove the leads from the electrolytic capacitors and just made air splices just in case they ever go bad, because they would reflect the short back into the circuit someplace. And they came out beautiful. Back to you, Roy.
Oh, very good. I mean, it's a shame we don't have a proper newsletter. I'd ask you to write something up for it. But we have our little shortened one because people weren't inclined to write articles. But this would make a perfect topic for an article, because I'm sure there's a lot of people who'd be very interested. And I don't know if you take pictures, but it's grown incredibly simple to take pictures of things these days, and it complements an article like that. So maybe in the back of your head you think about it. And if you're ever so inclined, feel free and send me a copy, and I'd love to include it in our little abridged newsletter. Mitch, you wanted to say something? Okay, thank you very much, Mitch. So, as I was saying before, you know, in the back of your mind, you know, think about it, consider it. I don't know if you like writing or you don't like writing, but if you're so inclined and you have a cell phone that takes pictures, keep it in the back of your head someplace.
Yeah, I could do that, Roy. On my job, every day I wrote a narrative description of what I did during the day, you know, working on, you know, 300-year-old buildings, the architects and engineers want to know precisely what was done. Now, I've been writing for 25 years. I could sketch something out, because I learned an awful lot working on these radios. They're real buggers to work on. Very tight inside. And you have to do some cheating. You have to clip some leads and, you know, make air splices, because it's very difficult to get into the into the individual lugs on the tube sockets and lugs on the terminal strips. Very, very difficult. And there are some capacitors that are nearly impossible to access. So I did learn a lot working on these radios. Yeah, I'm going to get back to it in the summer. My friend's father's rig, I only changed out half the capacitors until I got it sounding like something, because he was bugging me for it. So I got it going, and I sent it off to him. And then when I did the other rigs, did the complete swap of all capacitors and did everything necessary, they sounded great. So I'm going to have his radio back, and I'll get back into him, and I'll see if I can write something up then. Maybe during the summer. Back to you, Roy.
C2GS. Okay, you know, no rush. I mean, unfortunately, I knew a great guy. He also lived in Staten Island. He wrote reports as part of his job, and he had the exact opposite thoughts about writing, that he was so tired of writing these reports that the only reason that he would write them is if it was part of a job that he was getting paid for. So he was a great guy, but whenever I would write him email, his responses went from either three words to maybe, when he was feeling loquacious, six words. So he didn't like writing at all, even though he had done it as part of his job. So I'm glad to hear that you like writing. I, as people might have noticed from looking at the web and looking at the minutes, tend to like writing. Maybe I like it a little too much. So summer's fine, or the fall's fine. Whenever you have the time and the inclination, I would love to see something, because, again, I think it would interest a lot of people. Not everyone has an Oceanic, and not everyone plans to buy one, but I'm sure the curiosity of how you bring it back to life would fascinate a lot of people.
All right, Roy. Roy, have you ever heard of Stunk and White's Elements of Style and Grammar?
Yes, I have a copy of it somewhere around here.
Yes, when I first started writing reports, the art controller in the business office called me in and gave me a copy of the book. Said, "I want you to read this because your writing is atrocious."
Yeah, it's a very good book. I actually got a couple of other books on the same type of a subject, because I particularly wanted to get the technical terms and spellings correct. Like, there are little things that you take sort of for granted. Kilo is never spelled with a capital K, because capital K in technical articles are for degrees Kelvin. And there's a whole bunch of little teeny grammatical mistakes you can make on technical articles that I looked up when I started to write them for the club and such.
Yeah, I used to write out whatever I did during the day. You know, I worked on a lot of original structures and a lot of the original fabric of the buildings. So I had to be very descriptive. In fact, that's what an architect had told me. He said, "Joe, I want you to just write a narrative description of everything you do, like someone telling a story." And, well, then back to you.
Back in the old days in medicine, you would write a very descriptive narrative of examinations and history taking. It's been replaced, unfortunately, with an automated computerized database where you just click a bunch of boxes. But in the old days, you pretty much generated a little novel with every history and physical.
Yep, and, boy, I can't wait for this winter to be over. I know we're in spring, but I just can't wait for this winter to be over. I want to get out there and get my RF ground going. I have to recoat my driveway and put some more Thompson's water seal on the deck, and I'm actually doubling the size of my solar power station now. I had four 100-watt panels out there. I just bought four more, and I put another two out today. have another charge controller for those, and all the leads and connectors. So I just want this weather to start going with us. Okay, back to you.
I feel likewise. I really want to get my antennas back on the roof. I kind of missed them, down to my last antenna here. And it's a good thing that you're decreasing your carbon footprint. I'm not quite sure if it would make that much sense here in lovely, lovely Brooklyn. I have a very small area of the roof, and there's a whole bunch of things going across it that would probably shade it. But I don't know. I never really thought one way or the other. But at least you're helping the environment. So thank you for that, Joe. Once again, this is Alpha Charlie 2 Golf Sierra with the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. Is there anyone out there who passed by or came up with an interesting question or a comment for the Technical Net tonight? Please give me your name and your call sign.
K2JVX checking in.
Hello, Lloyd. Do you have a question or a comment, or are you just checking in?
What is the call sign of the guy in Staten Island who just had the long QSO with regarding the oceanic radios, et cetera?
Joe KC2WTA.
Charlie 2 Whiskey Tango Alpha. I have really nothing to ask tonight, sorry.
Okay, if you don't have a question, you don't have a question. It's all right. Let me ask anyone out there who can hear my voice. Is there anyone out there with either a question or a comment for the Technical Net tonight? Otherwise, I guess we'll go straight to the puzzle. But once again, any questions or comments out there? Okay, the puzzle it is. And at least I know I got Joe out there, and he's always game for the puzzle, and hopefully some other people will join in. The Kings County Radio Club Technical Net Puzzle for April 11, 2018. A transmitter utilizes a balanced mixer to produce a single sideband signal at 12 megahertz. To obtain an output at 144 megahertz, the transmitter would... And it gives you a bunch of different options to get a 12 megahertz signal up to the 144 megahertz range, hopefully. Answer A is mix the signal with an oscillator output at 144 megahertz. Answer B would be use a frequency tripler followed by two frequency doublers. Answer C is mix the signal with another signal at 156 megahertz. And answer D is feed the signal to a nonlinear amplifier with a tuned collector loaded at 144 megahertz. Anyone have any thoughts whatsoever?
KC2, WTA.
Joe, any thoughts on the subject?
I think it would be D. I have an FM VHF from Conar, C-O-N-A-R, and that generates its frequencies under the same principle. So I would say choice D. Feed the signal to a nonlinear amplifier with a tuned collector load of 144 megahertz.
Anyone else have any opinions on what the answer might be? Okay, I think the simplest answer would probably be just to mix it with a signal at 156 megahertz, because if you take a 12 megahertz signal and you mix it with a 156 megahertz signal, what a mixer, for the most part, does is it sums in differences the two frequencies that you put into the mixer. So the sum would be, 168 megahertz. The difference would be 144 megahertz. So that would be the simplest approach of how to simply up-convert a 12 megahertz modulated signal into the 144 megahertz signal. The first answer, mix the signal with an oscillator output of 144, wouldn't work, because again, that gives you have to figure the sum and the difference, and neither the sum nor the difference gives you a modulated 144 megahertz. What's cute is answer B, which says use a frequency tripler followed by two frequency doublers. Now, if you actually go through the math involved, if you triple 12 megahertz and then double it twice, you actually will come up with 144 megahertz. The problem with that answer is that the modulated signal, say you were modulating a simple pure 1 kilohertz tone, if you did that, your 1 kilohertz tone would also be increased by 12 times. So it would be 12 kilohertz, and you'd sound like you were really huffing on helium. So as far as I can see, the best answer for this particular question would be C, mix the signal at 156 megahertz. Yes, Milan.
To add to your explanation that basically there's a few variations of that question that do appear. Not sure if it was the general or the extra exam, but basically where you see in C, mix the signal with another signal, the another signal in those questions is always a local oscillator. And actually, if you look up articles on the internet with local oscillators, usually, you know, they mix some signal and convert it to the frequencies that they needed with a local oscillator. So I think some people might be more familiar with that term rather than thinking of it as another signal, and maybe that's why they didn't recognize it, because it is on the exam, actually, as a local oscillator. Back to you from Kilo Golf to Charlie.
Okay, that's true. Usually, the problem is the question is not quite the same as how a radio works. A product detector uses a local oscillator to inject a frequency. This is a kind of added complication that you already have a upper or lower single sideband signal at 12 megahertz, and you're up converting it. So yeah, I guess semantics could confuse people, oscillator versus signal. Any other questions or comments for this question for our puzzle tonight, or any questions at all for tonight?
Joe Yankee 2, Michael Yankee, Gene from Grayson.
Hello, Gene. How are you this fine evening? Do you have any questions or comments for the technical net tonight?
No questions or comments. Just want to say I was listening to you on a live stream on the way home, and I just got home now to be able to broadcast and say hi and hope everything's good.
Okay, thank you very much, Gene. Anyone out there who has any questions or comments for the technical net tonight? Okay, this is Alpha Charlie 2 Golf Sierra, and we'll ask one last time before we roll everything up and shut everything down, and we'll do it all again in 2 weeks. But if anyone has any questions or comments before I do the closing line, please feel free. Okay. This net has been brought to you by the Kings County Radio Club. Our club is an ARRL-affiliated club based in Brooklyn, New York. We meet on the first Wednesday of each month. Our next meeting will be Wednesday, April 4th. May 4th. Sometime around 7:30. We offer a pre-meeting technical question and answer session, much like this net, from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. as time allows. We have a weekly 2-meter club net every Tuesday at 9 p.m. on this repeater, as well as a 10-meter net every Sunday at 11 a.m. on 28.380 megahertz upper sideband. This technical net meets on the second and fourth Wednesday of each month at 9 p.m. We have a weekly net featuring Yaesu's Fusion Digital Technology every Thursday at 9 p.m. on our club repeater, AC2RC. If you can communicate using Fusion technology, please join us. We offer an audio stream of the Fusion Net on the Internet at stream.ac2rc.com. Members as well as non-members are welcome to participate, although we do appreciate it when our fellow hams join our club, and an application is available on our website. If you would like to contact the hosts of this technical net, simply address your email to tech@kc2rc.com. We maintain an active website at www.kingscountyradioclub.com or www.kc2rc.com, which offers archives of this technical net, amateur radio news, original articles, and technical forums. Please visit our website and participate. Our website services were generously donated by the local Brooklyn-based web hosting company, 3 Alien Web Hosting, who we would like to thank. As the great philosopher Jimi Hendrix once said, "Knowledge speaks, but wisdom listens. So try to listen more, guys, and talk a little less." Well, it's time to roll this all up and shut this all down for now, but we'll be back to do it all over again on April 25th, and you're all welcome to join us. Thanks to all the people that participated tonight, and especially to Milen, KG2C. Without you guys, I'd just be talking to myself. So, this is Roy, AC2GS, and I want to remind people that the next meeting is May 2nd, not May 4th. Got that wrong, so it's May 2nd. And the VE session, the next one, is May 6th at 1 o'clock. So this is Roy, Alpha Charlie 2 Golf Sierra, going clear and getting the heck out of here. Until next time, guys.
Sorry it was so short. I'm not sure where everyone is. Maybe everyone else is just as sleepy as I am today. Kilo Golf 2 Charlie, we'll be clear.
Thank you, Roy. Kilo Yankee 2, Bucky Yankee, clear.